Hello, welcome to episode number 18 of the Film Club Podcast. My name is Jason.
I am Robert.
Yeah, no Rudy once again, two weeks in a row. He's letting us down, dropping the ball. Yeah, but this is going to be our movie marathon episode. I know Robert mentioned last week his idea for a movie marathon. You want to get into it again? Explaining it anyway?
Well, basically, when you had showed me that video for the movies of 2012 by Jenai.
Yep.
That YouTube video, which is really awesome. I saw all these movies that I wish I had seen that I missed out on. So I told Jason, why don't we just... I'll pick a movie that we really wanted to see that got like a small movie that got good word of mouth, and you know, we'll do a little marathon out of it, drink some beers and have fun. And
yeah,
that's how it came about. And then you had the awesome idea of doing a podcast for it.
Yeah. So here we are. Yep. All right. So the initial plan was to watch four movies. Didn't pan out that way, but hey, we watched three and I think that's pretty good.
Yes.
And those three movies are, which we'll be talking about, Safety Not Guaranteed is the first one we'll be discussing, Holy Motors is the second, and The Imposter. And we'll also be getting into our What We Watch segment or whatnot. And then a look at the future of the podcast anyway. In a few days, we're also going to be recording an episode about Django Unchained, so look out for that when that's ready to be heard. All right. So yeah, let's get into it. Safety Not Guaranteed was your choice?
Yes.
Yep.
Okay, Safety Not Guaranteed is a movie about this girl who pretty much is an intern at some Seattle magazine, and she's kind of like, feels like she has no direction in her life. And I guess one of her bosses sees this want ad in some paper in a small town in Washington, where this guy posts like he's looking for someone to travel back in time with him, and that, you know, they are allowed to bring a weapon and that their safety is not guaranteed and that they'll get paid when they return.
Yeah.
So they thought this was funny. So they went to go do a story on it, and they pretty much follow this guy around and he's kind of off. And
yeah,
and it's pretty much about their adventures and stuff. And there's also a little side story where the reporter who goes with them goes back for the main reason he goes back is to hook up with his ex-girlfriend from high school who he still has feelings for.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a weird little story there, which I thought was a good part of the movie. So
yes. Yeah.
So I really liked the movie.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed it a lot. I mean, I loved the whole like aspect of like towards the end, I don't know, there's a speech by the main character, the guy who wants to travel back, and says like, you know, like, I really just want someone to be my partner, to be there for me when I feel insecure, when I need help, and you know, and they're there for me just like I'll be there for them. And I thought that pretty much summarized what the movie was about. So what did you think?
I enjoyed like the main relationship in the movie, you know, when the girl eventually starts hanging out with this guy, and obviously she's starts falling for him, and I enjoyed that part of the movie, and even the side story I thought was entertaining.
Yeah,
in a way I felt there could have been more of that. And
yeah, I really wish there was more of that too.
I thought that was, I don't know, I thought that was pretty effective. But I don't know, like the and I, like, we didn't really talk about that. Now I'm like, I don't want to put down Robert's movie. Like,
no, I know you didn't like it as much as I did.
Yeah, right. it feels kind of weird when everybody picked their own movie and then it just makes it kind of
odd. I saw you rate it like 2.5 stars, so I know you didn't like it.
I don't know, like the main girl, you know, she's like some comedian. I know she was in Scott Pilgrim and stuff.
She's in Parks and Rec. I forget her name, her real name. But
I mean, I do like her style, but I don't know. Acting wise, I didn't like her. Like, I feel she's an awkward person, which that's kind of her thing. Like, she comes off as awkward. So it was just weird watching her.
I thought she was okay.
She was okay.
I really like Mark Duplass, though, the main character, the guy, the crazy guy.
I thought he was really well done. And I don't know. I don't know. Like, most of the time, she's, like, sitting there wide-eyed at him, like, just Googling.
Okay,
I'm like, oh, no. Like, that's all she's doing, you know, which is not hard for a girl to do, I guess.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know. As much as I like the side story, I felt like things were happening in the movie, but there was no narrative to them. It was just things happening.
Well, I mean, I don't know. That's like, I don't know. I thought that was what I liked about the movie.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. It's just little, did feel like little segments at time where, like, you know, didn't really connect with what was going on.
Yeah.
But I mean, I enjoyed it. Like the whole segment where, The guy who sees his ex-girlfriend, you know, he's kind of heartbroken. Yeah. And he goes into, I love that moment where he goes into the hotel room, tells like the little Indian guy who's the other intern.
Yeah.
He just looks at him like ready to cry. He's like, what are you doing here? Yeah. What are you doing here sitting here? Get up. You are a man. He like get yeah. up. And I just thought it was a great speech. And
yeah.
like, you know, then the whole thing followed where they get drunk and wasted and yeah. hang out with high school kids.
yeah, I mean,
the, which didn't make sense.
Like the stuff you're saying about what you liked, I agree. Like those were nice moments. Yeah. I just think.
Oh, well, I'm a hopeless romantic. Was, like, a so yeah. I love like when they get it right.
Yeah.
You know, when like kind of romantic. You know, it wasn't really like a romantic comedy. I don't know what you would.
Yeah.
But I thought it was really good.
Yeah.
So.
I don't know. I thought it was a little mess. I was a little bit of a mess. I feel like a douchebag saying this.
No, it's okay. I like the guitar. What is that thing that he was playing in the movie? Like the little.
I forgot the like, name.
But that
of
was
it.
Such a great
but
song.
But that was a great.
Yeah, it was
moment.
A great moment. Yeah. Yeah, it really was. I think that's the moment where she really like, really did. Yeah, I mean, there were moments where she was all wide-eyed at him, but where she yeah. really knew she like, cared about him.
Yeah,
that was like a really good moment right there. So I don't know. I thought it was a sweet movie.
Mm-hmm.
It was sweet. What? I mean, what do you want me to say?
It's fine. I don't want to say anything more.
No, you can.
Oh, no.
I will not get offended.
I've had, like, the things I wanted to touch on, I've touched on. Okay. So
yeah. you want to move on to the next one then?
Yeah. Are we giving ratings or no?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Should we?
Yeah, if you want. You already rated it.
Yeah, it was a 2.5 out of 5 is my rating.
I give it 4 out of 5.
Cool. All right. So moving on to Holy Motors. This was my pick.
Yes. Yeah, you had to pick the most obscure one.
Yeah, I'm like, this is like my pretentious pick. I don't know why. Like when I was looking at the list of movies, you know, I was thinking of Take This Waltz, and
yeah,
this was one of like, I don't know. Like as soon as I came across this one, I'm like, okay, that's my choice, just because I've seen it pop up like pretty high on a lot of people's top tens and stuff like that. But I had no idea what the movie is about. But what the movie is about, I guess it's going to be hard to explain. But
yes.
It's just like a series of like little short films. It follows this guy. He's clearly an actor, driving around in his limo from appointment to appointment. And like each place he's going to, he's playing a different character, and you actually see him transforming into each character, 'cause he does his own makeup and stuff like that. So that's pretty much the thrust of the movie, what it's about. And you know, like, overall, I did enjoy the movie a lot. Like, I think it has some really great moments. And I mean, the thing I hold on to most from it is I really like the ideas that the movie has going for mm-hmm. it. I don't know. I guess in a lot of ways it talks about the life of an actor, you know? And, you know, I think a lot of people aren't, what's the word I'm looking for? Aren't sympathetic with like the lifestyle of an actor.
Yeah.
Like I understand, you know, actors have money and they could do whatever they want. But they can't really live like a normal life. And even though us as normal people or whatever, would like to live, you know, do something extraordinary with ourselves. You know, people in that position, they don't have an option like to be normal, you know,
yeah.
like they can't just go for a walk, or like, I know Paul McCartney, said, and I'm taking this from another podcast that I heard, but, Paul McCartney said the thing he missed most about when he wasn't famous is he can't just hop on a bus and go somewhere,
yeah.
Because everybody knows who he is, you know? So like, it's those little things, ideas that the movie has going for it that I really enjoyed. But then I also liked it because it also felt like it was celebrating movies in a way.
Yeah.
I thought it was really cool how they would actually show him doing his own makeup and changing into these characters, because there's something magical about movie making where one actor could play like be all these different people, this diverse group of people, and it just was, that was just cool to see visually.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I really enjoyed it, to an extent. No, it was good. It's a artsy French film, I mean.
Yeah.
But the thing about, like, I've always told you, like, I'm never a big fan of anthology films.
Yeah.
Like, because, like, there's always going to be parts that where you're going to go, oh, this part is not going to, there's going to be a part that's going to be slow. Yeah.
There's going to be good moments.
And there's going to be the bad moments. Like, oh, this story wasn't as good as that story. You know, it wasn't as good as that story. So
yeah.
That's what it's hard for me to follow those kind of movies at times.
Yeah.
But I really did enjoy, like, I remember I went to the bathroom real fast, and
yeah.
You're like, you want me to pause? I'm like, no, I'll be up here real quick. And then
yeah.
I missed, I guess, a really important scene where, like,
yeah.
it kind of made sense, like, kind of where you figured out what the movie was really about.
Yeah.
And when you told me, I'm like, oh yeah, that makes sense. So when your aspect, like your opinion of the movie is, I can totally agree with that. Like being, like it takes, like, you know, being an actor, you're always constantly just doing different parts. Even going home is like a role now, because you don't even have a home to go to.
Yeah. So like, which the movie does a good job towards the end when he eventually does go home, and it's like you're from out of nowhere, he's greeted by by these creatures, and but, it just is weird.
Yeah, the scenes were great though. I loved the scene with the drive with the daughter. I don't know why I loved it so much.
I think that was really good.
Party, and yeah, I thought that was a great scene. And the other, what was the other one?
I like the moment where he's with another famous actress played by Kylie Minogue. I thought that was one of the most more emotional parts of the movie.
The little musical scene.
Yeah. I think that's just a nice idea, you know, like even having a romantic life, like they can't even enjoy that, you know, like they're always, you know, looking for the next job, you know, and that's just the nature of the industry. You have to, you have to stay on top of things if you want to stay relevant. But that means, you know, just moving on to the next thing, you know?
Yeah.
And to me, it's also a really cynical look at movies, and I'll get into this a little bit more later, but it's like, you know, there's so many movies out there, and it's just, you know, sometimes I like find myself sitting and watching a movie and I just kind of feel disconnected from it, just because I've more or less, there's, you know, you see a movie, like movies are different iterations of something that came before it.
Yeah.
And they're pretty much doing the same thing, just in a slightly different way. So sometimes it makes it hard to connect to stories, you know, and even like seeing the life of an actor, how an actor, just like anybody else who worked a job for an extended period of time, they eventually stop caring about what they're doing. And yeah, I don't know. A lot of cool ideas.
Yeah.
But then the actual like stories themselves are okay.
Yeah.
Like I think what the movie has going for it is its ideas, but the actual content of the movies aren't that great. And some of them are even like just boring.
Yeah. The Eva Mendes one was just, that one was just, I don't know if it was just trying to be abstract for the sake of being abstract.
Yeah.
But like, I don't know. That one
really, I enjoyed the photographer who was like, beauty, beauty.
Yeah,
the beauty.
We was taking a picture and then he saw him.
Weird.
Yeah, weird. And yeah. I guess in a way it was making fun of the whole like celeb, like the paparazzi celebrity modeling aspect of it. I don't know. Yeah. I kind of was trying to figure that part out.
Yeah. And that's another thing with the movie. I feel like a lot of things it's trying to say is just going over my head.
Yeah,
just
not exactly getting
it.
Right. Yeah.
Like, I want to see it again and see if I could catch more, maybe understand it more. But they're just, I feel like there's so many things being said that I just don't know.
Yeah, but then there's great moments, like shots, like where he goes into the building where they do the, what do you call that, motion capture? Where he's wearing little lights all over and like the room's dark and he's like doing the little flips and the tricks and stuff, and I thought that was great. I don't know.
That was cool. And then once, you know, the woman comes into play.
Well, at first that was kind of awesome. Cool, where they were kind of like melding
it
together.
It felt like they were like becoming one.
Yeah, and then towards the end, it just kind of kept like, I don't know.
Yeah, once they show like the finished product of like these dragon creatures.
The dragon with the snake, like, or the, something.
What
yeah,
is
you're
this?
Like, what the fuck is that? Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
But yeah. I know you really like the little intermission accordion band thing.
This is a great song. You know?
Yeah, that was really good. I agree. Yeah,
it was just like I said, like when that moment comes, it just feels like an intermission to the film, and
it was a nice
moment. And it's a good song.
Yeah, so,
yeah.
But
and another moment that I know you liked a lot, or I mean, you mentioned, like, you kind of helped me understand that moment when. When he has to kill some guy, and it's pretty much himself.
I love that part, yeah.
And then the person who goes back, you're not sure. You're kind of not sure which one it is.
Yeah.
But how that's kind of saying how they're expendable, you know, like they're replaceable and stuff.
Yeah, that was great. I don't know. I guess he goes in. I love this scene because I want to explain it in detail because I love it so much.
Yeah.
He goes in dressed up like with a scar, right? He puts makeup and makes it look like he has a scar on his face.
Yeah.
He's got a tracksuit on, and he walks over to this guy who has like a beard and long hair. And he just stabs him in the neck, and the guy's like on the floor bleeding, and he thinks he's dead. So then he just starts shaving his head, shaving his beard off, and then putting the little scar on his face. So he's kind of like turning him into him.
Yeah,
it's so weird. And then it was so great. I don't know. Yeah. And then the guy wakes up and knifes the guy who you think is dead, kind of wakes up and knifes the other guy in the neck, and they kind of, I don't know. He just comes back walking bleeding. You don't know which one it is. And I thought that was great.
And like the last section of the film, once you finally learn what Holy Motors is, and there's this whole there's this whole end scene involving the limousines. Did you get what that was trying to say?
No, and I'm still trying to. I really
I kind of get that a little bit, you know, just like how the cars themselves feel just like the actors, you know.
And the talking limousines,
just how they, you know, like I know they get into how they're machines and like people are starting to care about them less or whatever.
Well, yeah, and I knew it was something to do with like someone else's perspective on what these people are, these actors in their appointments. I don't know. It was just, it was really weird. I don't know.
But there's another aspect with the actual his actual limousine driver. I didn't get that either. She puts on a mask and.
When she walks out?
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't get that either. You're right.
There's so many things that just not
maybe
getting.
They're not, you're not allowed to see their faces, like, or something.
Yeah. It was weird.
I don't know. I didn't get that part either.
Yeah.
But I enjoyed it, though. I mean,
that was
really good.
Yeah. So what would you give it?
I gave it a 3 out of 4. I mean, 5, sorry. 3 out of 5.
I gave it a 3.5, I believe, out of 5. So, yeah. And then the last movie we saw was The Imposter. We were trying to watch this Korean film that Rudy had chose, but the subtitles weren't working properly. So it was between Take This Waltz and The Imposter, and we eventually went with The Imposter.
I refused to watch Take. What was the reason why I don't want to watch? I don't want
to
watch it
because you don't want to watch a
indie
female,
movie
a
where the woman's like a total asshole to the husband or something. Because that's what they've been doing lately in these indie films. But no,
but The Imposter. It's pretty much about this boy from San Antonio who disappeared in like 94. And then almost 4 years later, a kid, a Spanish kid pops up claiming to be this family's son. And eventually is sent back to Texas and pretends to be the son for a while. And then what do you think of The Imposter?
I thought it was great. I loved the reenactments that they shot. Like, ran me a lot of Man on a Ledge, which I loved a lot.
Man on Wire?
Man on Wire, yeah, Man on Wire. I'm sorry.
Talking about Sam Worthington?
No, not that one. Man on Wire, yeah. So I really liked it. It's a good choice. You picked it, right? So
yeah, well, I had started watching it one day. I couldn't get into it. I don't know why. I mean, I was tired that day.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's one I've been meaning to watch because I heard it's amazing.
I don't know, great documentary. Yeah. But I liked. I just loved how he's able to trick the audience so well. Even while you're watching this, like you know what's going on. Yeah. You still get tricked by him. Like he's so good at it. Like it was so weird how in the end, I don't know. Like I don't know if I should give this away or something. Should I? I don't know. Like
that he eventually gets found, or
gives himself in because he thinks. Like that there's something more going on with why he disappeared, the boy from Texas disappeared. And so like you kind of get convinced as well, like, oh my God, this is just something really did happen.
There's something like more sinister happening that the family's hiding some information about, you know, the boy.
Yeah.
And it's this fucked up.
Yeah. And you get sucked into it and you're like, at the end you're like, holy shit, you just got duped by the guy.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I just probably give away the ending, but.
Well, yeah. It's unfortunate. It's like one of those tales where you just don't know the truth, you know, like Zodiac or the West Memphis. Like, you know, something happened like to this kid and you're never going to know what it was. Really? Yeah.
And this guy just took advantage of the situation and
ran
with it. Like, it's crazy.
And yeah, like you mentioned with the reenactments, like that was amazing. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, yeah, I like Man on Wire. I just like how, like, yeah, you are shooting a documentary, but you're also taking the sensibilities of conventional movie making and using those to tell a story. Like, I loved how he'll be narrating, and then the characters within the reenactments or whatever will like speak the same line.
Yeah.
They'll like mouth it, the line of dialogue. I thought that was really, really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see what else I had to say about this. But yeah, that's about it. Like, the story itself is just crazy. So many twists and turns and.
Yeah. Just, I mean, like. This family, like from Texas, who just falls for this. I don't know how they just lived with. How many months did they live with him before they found out?
Yeah,
like 4 months was it?
Yeah, and it's weird. Yeah, it's weird. Like he looks nothing.
Yeah,
like
he looks
the son.
Nothing like him. And he's,
but I don't know. I mean, I know Rudy, you know, who's not here to defend himself, but I know he said like he just had a hard time believing that the family would believe that this is their son for a second, you know? But I mean, you have to put yourself in that mindset. Like, these are people who wanted their kid back. And
but that's where, like, it's open for interpretation in a bit, because then maybe you do realize, well, maybe the family is hiding something, and that's why they pretended to like think that this guy was, maybe they did know it wasn't him, but you know, they were like, well,
this is a good scapegoat, you know?
Pretend
it's our son, and then that'll be that, you know?
Yeah, so it's so hard to, like, that's like you said, like, you can't ever really put your finger on it, or all you know is just this crazy guy, like, gets involved in this, like, puts himself in the middle of something insane, and that's all you can really get out of the movie. So,
and the guy himself, incredibly charming, like
the Spanish guy,
he's just an interesting character to film, you know?
Yeah,
cool,
yeah. It was good. Yeah, it was a good pick. I was really surprised by it. Like, I got so into it towards the end. Like, oh my God.
I was, like, falling asleep, but I still loved it. Like, there was moments where I was, like, dozing off.
I think I was the only one awake because I looked over. Rudy's, like, knocking out. You're knocking out. Yeah. Like, it's, like, almost 3 a.m.
Yeah. All right. Anything else on Imposter?
No. Right. Definitely people who are into documentaries.
And, yeah, I need to watch more. Yeah. Like, I've been seeing lists. I'm like, I haven't watched any documentaries this year. Yeah.
If you loved Man on Wire, you should watch it. If you haven't seen Man on Wire, watch Man on Wire and Imposter. So
so what would you give it?
I give it a 4 out of 5.
4 out of 5?
Yeah.
I get a 4.5 out of 5.
I think you're going to say 4.2 or something.
No, like, 4.5 out of 5 I gave it.
4.5 out of 5. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was good. I enjoyed it a lot. I was surprised by it, so I wasn't expecting it because it came out of nowhere.
Yeah. So what we watched, do you want to start or want me to start?
You can go ahead and start.
Cool. So, first movie I saw was Bernie. It's on Netflix if you guys want to check it out. It's based on a true story. Kind of similar to Imposter, I guess. No, not really, but it's about this guy played by Jack Black who moves to this, like, small community, and he becomes, like, a funeral director there. He's the one who, like, prepares the bodies and kind of runs the, you know, the wake and whatnot. And he just plays this, like, really charming character, and he becomes likable by this town, extremely likable. Everybody just loves this guy, and he eventually befriends this old woman played by Shirley MacLaine, and she's just a bitch of a lady. Like, everybody hates her. She's just a miserable lady, but for some reason he connects to her, you know, and he pretty much becomes, like, her servant eventually, but he's also able to live this grand lifestyle because she's always going on vacations and, you know, just he's able to get this life of luxury out of it. But he eventually gets fed up of being her servant, and he kills her, whatever. Like, it's not too much of a spoiler. Kind of, that's what the movie's about. Like, throughout the film, you have these the townspeople kind of doing, like, mockumentary style. You know, they're like, just, I don't know. They're, like, just commentating on Bernie and the lady and stuff like that. So he kills her, but it's kind of weird how this town is kind of okay with it, you know? Like, they like the guy so much, and they hated the lady
so they're so aware much. That he killed her?
Well, yeah, they just think, oh, yeah, she kind of had to come into her, and, like, Bernie's such a nice guy. And then Matthew McConaughey pops up, and he plays, like, this district attorney who's just trying to get a fair trial. You know, and obviously it's not good to have it in that town because they already have this bias towards Bernie himself. But I don't know, just Jack Black's really good. He's really charming. The town itself is really quirky, and they always have, like, little quips to add when they're talking. You know, like a small town, they have these, like, all these weird sayings and stuff like that. And it was pretty funny that way. And it was enjoyable. I liked it. And then, sorry, looking at my list. we rewatched Nightmare Before Christmas, Tim Burton's, you know.
Yeah, no, you with Rudy or?
Well, yeah, Rudy was here and my girlfriend was here, so we're kind of watching it. I was kind of half paying attention, but for the most part, I was listening, and, you know, it's still great music. Danny Elfman's really good. But there were just little things I noticed that I had problems with the movie. And the movie doesn't hold up as well. Sally, she's incredibly lame. She's monotone. She's, like, super emo. Like, she doesn't, like, all she cares about is getting Jack. And, yeah. And, like, Jack doesn't even like her. Like, there's no love story there. Like, he doesn't like her. He just eventually says, oh, he just eventually starts paying attention to her towards the end. And that's that. Yeah, I mean, plenty of people have seen this movie, and they know he eventually goes to Christmas Town and falls in love with Christmas and decides to take it upon himself to make his own Christmas. I didn't understand, though, why didn't he do Christmas in Halloween Town? Why did he feel the need to fuck with Santa's town? And he, like, totally... And then he decides to have these three kids, Lock, Stock, and Barrel, kidnap Santa Claus. Like, why would you do that? Like, it doesn't make any sense. But then, and then I was thinking, you know, as I'm watching the movie, I was thinking about the message and the theme of the movie. And I think it does have really good themes. I mean, obviously, it's about a guy who's bored with what he does, and he's trying to do something else with his life, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and ultimately, it's about, you know, you should be happy that you're just be yourself. You know, if you're good at something, like, be happy with that. But at the same time, you know, he tries to take over Christmas and he eventually fails miserably. But, you know, there's a piece of dialogue where he eventually says that he was happy that he gave it a go, you know, like, even though, and, you know, that's how life is. You like, take these risks.
Yeah.
And sometimes you fail, but you should still be proud that you were willing to take that risk. So I think the themes are really good. But I did have, like, problems with other things, like I said. Let's see. I'll mention Paranorman, but I haven't seen all of it.
Oh my God.
Got tired.
Oh, really? I love Paranorman.
I've seen the first 45 minutes, and I do plan on seeing it. I did not like it at all.
Are you serious?
I thought it was whatever. Like I said, I'll reserve my final judgment until I see the whole film. But I did not like it. And I was incredibly excited about it. I still have to see Frank and Weenie.
I thought it was way better than Coraline.
So far, no. So far, I love Coraline, and
I don't like Frank. You know, Frank and Weenie, I can live with that. I haven't seen it. It just doesn't.
Yeah, I like. It was between those two, and I definitely was more excited about Paranorman. I haven't seen it yet, but I don't like it so far. Anyway.
Oh my God.
And then I saw This Is 40.
Oh, did you?
I did. And it's actually, you know, it's Judd Apatow. It's actually a really funny movie. And a lot of people are saying how bloated, you know, he's not a very good editor, kind of like Peter Jackson. Like, his movies need to be shorter. Like, he's making comedies. They shouldn't be 2 hours and 10 minutes, 2 hours and 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And this one was that long, but to me, it didn't feel that long. And the movie's funny, but the characters in the movie, they don't feel like real characters. Like, they feel like they're just there just to spout these jokes.
Yeah.
And, like, an analogy I wanted to bring up was, you know, every now and then you'll watch, like, a talk show, and there'll be comedians on, like, talking to the host. And the whole time, they're just talking like they're doing stand-up.
Yeah.
Rather than talking like a real fucking person, you know? So that's a problem. Like, I did think the movie was funny, but I felt the characters were just, they were just fake. They were just nothing to connect to. And with a movie like this, you should be able to, because it's, I mean, even though I'm not 40 years old, I should still be able to connect to what the movie is trying to say, you know, about, you know, just getting older and falling into that family life and stuff like that. But it was pretty funny. Yeah. And he uses his daughters, Judd Apatow. His daughters are the kids of...
Yeah, he always uses his daughters now.
Yeah, and it's the older daughter, like, you could just tell she's just trying so hard to be funny, but yeah. But it's still, I did get some enjoyment out of it.
Wait for the rental or...
What happened?
Wait for the rental. Or
well, it's online, so if you're into legally downloading stuff, you can feel free to do that.
Is it a screener?
It's a screener. Oh, really? It's okay. Great quality.
All right.
There's a little blurred mark on the bottom throughout the whole film, but that's fine. Yeah.
And
I'm not advocating anything.
We're
going
to have to shut down your podcast.
Yeah.
No, that's cool.
And then one more. I saw Take This Waltz.
Yeah.
Did you get to see it?
You know, it's just, I told you why I'm so hesitant.
I understand why you are. I mean, to be honest, I don't know. It's a movie about Michelle Williams, and she's married to a character played by Seth Rogen. And, I wouldn't say she's getting bored, but she, you know, she's just unhappy in a way. And she eventually meets this guy and, starts talking to him. And, you know, he's a neighbor. He lives across from her, and she eventually starts hanging out with him, and, you know, she wants to be with him, or she fantasizes about being with him, but whatever. The movie's interesting because the whole relationship that she has with Seth Rogen, you know, her husband, they get along really well. And, you know, they have this charisma towards one another. You know, they're always like talking in baby voices to each other, mm-hmm. or they're like always saying to each other, like trying to one up each other, by saying how they want to kill the other person. So it's cool. Like, it's like you, I don't know, like just being in a relationship, you could relate to that. Cause there's always like weird, quirky things that make up how you guys are to one another. And that was really cool. But you could just tell that there was still a lack of communication between them, and there was still things that weren't being said.
Yeah.
I don't know. And I mean, I understand, you know, there are plenty of people who are in good situations and they're willing to throw it away, you know?
Yeah.
But I mean, it's still easy to connect to, because I feel like people have desires.
No, yeah. And, that's what I was going to say. That's why it's hard to get over that. Because, like, there's not one person who hasn't been in a relationship that probably hasn't been attracted to somebody else, has been thought about. Like, everybody, there's nobody who's, like, been in a relationship that can't say, oh, I've never thought that.
Yeah.
That's complete bullcrap. Like, so, like, I don't know. It's just really, it's, I don't know. I just hate, like, it's all these, like, indie movies that keep doing that, where they keep making movies now where the woman, like, treats, like, cheats on her husband and treats him like crap, and you're like, why?
I mean, like, watch a movie, see where it goes. I don't want to ruin. I don't want to say if she actually cheats or not. Uh-huh. But I don't know. I think the movie is just really relatable in that way. You know, there's always, you know, you're in these things and you think...
Well, yeah, I love Michelle Williams. She's such a great actress.
Yeah. You, like, think, you know, the grass is greener on the other side. Like, there's something better out there. But ultimately, which is a pretty pessimistic thing to say, ultimately, that relationship is going to end up just like the one you're in right now. Like, you're ultimately not going to be...
that makes a lot of sense, just,
like, life and love is more than that. And it's just about a character who is missing something, and she has to realize that, you know... I mean, to me, it's like... Sometimes life just kind of sucks, you know, and they're just a part of life where, you know, sometimes you're just not happy and there's nothing to be done to fix that. Like, it is an interesting part where she says she you know, there's one of her people that are connected to her family. Like, I believe it's her sister-in-law or whatever. She had the baby and she loves this kid. And she's like, when I used to take care of her, like, you know, whenever she would cry, you know, I would always know what's wrong. Like, if she's tired or she's hungry or need to be burped or whatever. Like, so 9 times out of 10, I would know what's wrong. But every like, there was always that one time where I didn't know what's wrong with her, you know? And maybe it's just her being sad, you know? Like, that's, and she relates to it in her way, because she feels the same way. Sometimes she feels like there's something wrong, but she doesn't know what it is. And that's just, to me, that's kind of how life is. Sometimes there's just moments where you're sad and you feel like crying and you don't know why. It's just, it is what it is. And I don't know. I just think the movie's really good. It's really awesome.
Okay. I'll definitely check it out then. Well, I mean, the way you just explained it, like, it makes me want to see it. Yeah. So.
And then opening and closing, I don't want to ruin that, but it's really cool how the movie opens and then how they touch upon that at the end. And it's really neat. So check it out. Sarah Polley, I haven't seen. She has a documentary out about her family called Stories We Tell, and she made a film called Away From Her, and I haven't seen either one, but I'm interested in seeing the other stuff she's doing, because obviously she's a good filmmaker.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I watched this week.
Cool.
Robert?
Well, what I watched, okay, one of the first things I saw was The Campaign with Will Ferrell and Zach Galifianakis.
Cool.
It's a comedy that I think really tries too hard. I think it could have been a great movie. It's it pretty much is a jab at politicians and how, you know, no matter what, there's money is always like the influence behind what you're doing and or what they're doing. And Will Ferrell plays a politician who's been a congressman who's been in Congress for like 4 years in a row already or something. Four terms, I think, he's already spent. And no one's ever run against him, so every year he thinks he's got it down. And then these two rich guys, played by John Lithgow and Dan Aykroyd, they want somebody new in there because there was some kind of like thing happened with some sex call that Will Ferrell's character did or something. Anyway, it's... it tries to have a story behind it. Like, I'm trying to explain it, but it really loses itself so many times. And Dylan McDermott's in it, and it just plays like this, the creepiest guy. Like, Dylan McDermott's never been so creepy in his life in this movie. And I don't know. It's a comedy that just kind of, for me, falls apart. Like, it has a story. It kind of goes towards that plot, and then it stops and goes different directions, and it zigzags, and towards the end it goes back to the plot, and you're like, oh, okay, here it goes. And by that time you honestly don't even give a shit anymore, so you're like, well, whatever, just, you know. And the funny moments were okay. I mean, Will Ferrell punching a baby, I mean, everybody thought that was hilarious. I don't know. And a dog, he punches a dog too towards the end of the movie. And Zach Galifianakis,
like, whatever.
Yeah, you know, I'm trying to like find good points of the movie, but I can't. Yeah. Zach Galifianakis I love Zach Galifianakis so much. He's like one of my favorite comedians, and I don't know if you've ever seen his stand up, but you definitely should.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, it was all right. It was kind of a letdown. I was kind of disappointed because I was excited to see it.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Cool.
That's why I brought that one up first, because that one was so bad. The second one I watched was End of Watch with Jake Gyllenhaal and I forgot the other guy's
Michael
name.
Peña.
Michael Peña, yeah. Written and directed by David Ayers, who I think he wrote Training Day.
Okay.
And then he did High Times with Christian Bale and Freddie Rodriguez.
Uh-huh.
So End of Watch is pretty much Jake Gyllenhaal's character is like, has these like cameras that like he hooks up to his like his uniform, and then he carries around with him, and he hooks up to his partner's uniform, Michael Peña, and because he's in, like, I guess, taking like an elective in film or something in school, and he decides, well, how would it be cool to like film us doing our jobs, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's just pretty much their lives and how these two partners have been partners for all these years, and how like their relationship and how, you know, all everything that they do together is like, I don't know, I really love the connection between them two.
Yeah.
And like there's a couple parts in the movies where they there's a scene where they find a human trafficking house or something where they hide people in like in these cages inside of a house. And I guess it says something to do with like the cartel or something. And then one of the guys, this like black ops guy comes out of this black op team comes out of nowhere saying, you just tugged at the tail of a snake, you know, just back off, lay low, quit playing like investigators or something.
Yeah.
And later on in the movie, they do the exact same thing where they find these boxes of drugs and same cartel. And I guess now they're like wanted by them. Like, I don't know. I don't want to give too much away because that kind of happens towards the end of the movie. I really enjoyed it. I mean, I enjoyed the connection between these two characters and how much they cared for each other. And, you know, mm-hmm. they thought of themselves as brothers. And I mean, it's your typical L.A. crime cop drama, you know? David Ayers doesn't really move from that cliche. So yeah. I enjoyed it, though. I thought it was good. I mean, it's a really good film.
Cool.
I mean, yeah.
Cool. Yeah, it's on my end of year watch list, so I'll probably be talking about it soon.
Yeah, it's. No, I mean, I'm trying to think of something deep and to say about the movie, but
oh, that's okay.
I really can't. I saw Moonrise Kingdom today.
Cool.
I loved it. I especially enjoyed that I forgot her character's name in the movie, but yeah. She, with the binoculars, she was great. I thought she was like this, I don't know, her character was so like innocent and sweet and just so misunderstood. Yeah. Like a lot more misunderstood for me. I felt she was more misunderstood than the orphan boy. I don't know why. I just felt like, you know, her lashing out and especially stabbing that kid with the scissors. I don't know. I thought it was great. I mean, I don't know. It was a good movie. Yeah, it's a Wes Anderson movie. What else do you expect from Wes Anderson? But the characters were good. Bill Murray's character was okay. I know you said the dog characters weren't really that interesting.
Yeah, I think that was done
on purpose, though, because yeah. This is more of a movie about the two kids and
yeah, definitely
how they loved each other and, you know, and how they wanted to be together no matter what. And yeah. They wanted to take care of each other because no one else wanted to, you know.
Yeah.
And I thought that was really sweet.
Yeah, my main issue was just the kid, like
the boy,
his face. Like he was cool. I thought he was funny at times. I just there's something about his face. You know, sometimes people just have those faces, and you just don't like them because of that.
Yeah, I know.
It's a horrible thing to say, but yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's bad.
I love the moment in the film, though. I don't want to say what moment it is, but where it's in the film, but
uh-huh.
where. He's painting, and then like she wants to go see the painting, but she goes, no, not yet. I don't know why. I thought that was so sweet. Like, mm-hmm. you know, she kind of like, well, didn't want to see it without him being there, I guess, is what I took out of that. So, I mean, it's it's so cute. Like, I don't know, it's just a really good movie. And when they're dancing on the beach, I thought that was so funny. Yeah. And when they make out and she makes him touch her boobs. Yeah. And she's like, they're gonna get bigger, I swear, or something like that. That was so funny. But Edward Norton was great. I really liked his character a lot. Yeah. Scoutmaster.
Yeah. The Boy Scout stuff was my favorite.
Yeah.
Parts. Like when they're like going to hunt for them and they have all like these fucking deadly weapons that they're using. Yeah. Like, what the hell? What's going on here?
Yeah. I don't know. When they kill that poor dog though, Snoopy. And then the kid's like, I forgot what he said. He said something really sweet though. He's like, was he a mean dog? Like, I don't know, but it's just not right what they did to him or something. I don't know. I just thought it was a cool moment, but
yeah.
I liked it. I enjoyed it. I had fun watching it.
Cool.
Cool. And then the last one, save the best for last, because I fucking love this movie so much.
Yeah.
And I can't believe I waited so long to see it. Perks of Being a Wallflower.
Yeah.
I think really like, that's probably going to be my number one of the year. I know. I just,
spoiler.
Yeah. Sorry. Well, yeah, who knows? I still got to compile my list.
We're definitely going to be talking about that in the next few episodes.
Who knows? Yeah. I mean, it's definitely going to be somewhere in the top five for sure.
Yeah.
But.
So why do you like it?
Oh my God. I don't know. It's a good coming of age movie where you just relate to it so much. I know there's so many coming of age movies where people say, I relate to that. I relate to that.
Yeah.
But I don't know, for this one, for me, it really hit home. I don't know. It's like, I forgot his name. The main kid.
His name's Charlie in the movie.
Charlie. And, I forgot the actor who plays him, but he's great.
Yeah.
He was in,
He was in Percy Jackson.
Yeah. He's a great actor, though. He was in Three Ten Yuma.
He was like the son, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He pretty much plays this like lonely kid. Starts off with him writing letters to, I believe, himself, pretty much, because he.
That's what I got from it.
Yeah, he writes letters to himself, calls himself Friend, and you know he's alone. You know, he's lonely, and he spends the summer by himself, and he's starting high school, and he's just nervous, you know, because he has to. You know, he doesn't want to be alone for all those years in high school. He wants to meet people, and you know, and so that's what I loved about the movie. And I don't know, he meets these two, I guess, kind of like outcasts of the school, I guess.
Yeah.
And he becomes friends with them. One of them is played by Emma Watson.
Yeah.
From Harry Potter. And the other guy, I don't know who he is, but he was great too.
Ezra Miller. He's been in a movie called We Need to Talk About Kevin. I never saw it.
Oh, okay.
Came out last year. Oh. But he was great.
Yeah,
he plays a gay guy.
I forgot what
his name is in a movie.
Yeah, and it's pretty much him, becoming friends with these. They're seniors, and, you know, he becomes friends with them, and, you know, he opens up, and he starts realizing that, you know, because I guess there's this hint in the movie that there's something wrong with Charlie.
Yeah.
You don't know what, you know, and it's kind of always hinted like, are you seeing things? Is it coming back? And so you don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it was a beautiful movie. And, you know, towards the end, when they start going off to college whatever is wrong with him starts coming back.
Yeah.
And what I got out of the movie is this was a damaged kid. And whenever he's alone, he starts thinking things really that are really bad. And he doesn't want, he doesn't want to be alone. He doesn't want to experience anything, you know, and it's a really...
I mean, I definitely like how you're worried for him, you know, because
exactly.
You know these friends, which are amazing. Like a thing I love about the movie. I mean, my favorite thing about the movie is just them becoming friends and hanging out with them. Like, I talked about another episode, but I was just sitting there in the movie theater and I was just like smiling. Like, I was like so happy to be around these characters.
Exactly.
And it was amazing.
Like, you were having fun with them. The stupid shit that they were doing together was like,
And then you're like incredibly worried because they're seniors. They're going to go off to college and you're like, you don't know what's going to happen to this character. Like, you know, there's something that he needs to deal with.
Yeah.
And it starts to come out when they eventually leave. And I just love how it's about, you know, him finding that friendship. And I think that was a big part of why he's able to finally start talking about what happened to him and getting over that and getting better, hopefully, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I love that line where he's like kind of talking to himself and, you know, he's reading one of his letters and he says, uh, he, uh, you know, he's happy and he's sad and he's trying to figure out how that could be, you know, how he could be both those things at the same time. I think,
yeah,
that's an awesome line and something like people connect with.
Yeah, definitely. I definitely connected with it a lot. I mean,
yeah,
I mean, there are moments, I mean, who doesn't have those moments in high school where they feel like alone, you know, like they kind of lose, I don't know, like they just feel like they're by themselves and, you know, and it's a heartbreaking, it's kind of heartbreaking, but
yeah,
happy, like joyful movie at the same time.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It's just,
yeah, I mean, me and Rudy talked about like the high school experience. Like what was yours?
My high school experience was really like, it changed. Like every year was always different. It went in a different direction. And, and that was part of like me not knowing where I fit in, you know?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, well, I don't know. I didn't listen to the episode. What was yours like? What was yours like?
I fucking hated high school. Yeah, but I mean, it was, yeah, I just never, I mean, I like had friends that I hung out with like during lunch and stuff. They were mainly like the stoner kids and stuff like that. I don't smoke weed, but yeah. But, I mean, outside of school, I just always wanted to go home.
Yeah, same here.
I don't know, like, you know, like, I had watched movies and I had this idea of what high school might be like.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like that for me. So in a way it's disappointing, but I always loved seeing movies about the high school experience. So.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I was never bullied. I was never teased. Like I never had people like mess with me. Like I hung out with a group one year, another year I hung out with another group. I think after my junior year when I started like doing like acting things and like hanging out with a theater group outside of school.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I, well, that was my group then.
Yeah. That's cool.
But, oh, I forgot what I was going to say. I was going to say something. I've definitely been through the heartbreak, though, in high school.
Yeah.
The, you know, and stuff like that. And, you know, when you want to be with someone and, you know, they're like, so, you know, I don't know. I just, I connected so, like, you know.
Yeah, I didn't have so much. I didn't have some of that stuff. There was, like, a girl I liked in high school, but it just, nothing ever came of it.
Yeah.
And I was like, I would think about that sometimes, but.
But it kind of does, like, the connections that he had with those friends, though, the way he, the connect, like, I never had that kind of connection with my friends in high school.
Yeah.
So it kind of makes me wish I did, you know?
Yeah. I
so
mean, I was able to connect to that because I have had friends in my life that I've had that strong connection, but those didn't come from high school, you know?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, you know, I wish I had that in high school. I wish I had those kind of friends like that, that, you know, it was like a small group and you just, you know, you were like, you did Secret Santas and you gave each other like these meaningful gifts that, you know, were because of who they, you know, that related to who they were. I don't know. I love that scene, that Christmas scene where.
Yeah, I love that scene. Yeah. And I love like the, you know, the first party goes to and then when they find out that he had, when Emma Watson character eventually finds out that he had this like horrible experience with one of his friends.
Yeah.
And, you know, she's worried and she tells the gay guy about it, and then he decides like to do this toast towards him and just to make him like feel
part of the
want group. It and part it and part of that, like it was amazing.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I mean, I it definitely makes me want to read the book. I'm definitely gonna read the book for sure. So
yeah, I hadn't even heard about it like after we saw it that day. When I walked out, there was a girl. She's like, "Yeah, it's not as good as the book."
like really? Like, yeah. Like, how could you not love it? It's written and directed by the guy who wrote the book. So
is it?
Yeah,
That's awesome. I didn't know that.
So definitely, you gotta check it out.
I think someone else saw it that I know of that read the book and said it was a good adaptation. So yeah,
it's a sweet movie. I mean, I fell in love with the movie. Yeah. I mean, there's no other way to say it. Like, you felt like I loved it so much.
Yeah, you just, yeah, it's definitely.
Like, yeah, I couldn't, you're right. Like, you couldn't stop smiling. You were just smiling at all these, like, amazing moments.
Yeah.
You know, and God, I was so envious at times of that kid. Like, wow, I wish I experienced all that stuff, you know?
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's, I loved it. I mean, what else can you say about that movie? Just watch it, please. Like,
okay. Anything else to add?
No, I think that's all I've seen. Well, I saw Django, but we're going to wait for that.
Yeah, we'll be talking about that in 2 days. Yeah. All right, well, I really got to pee, so let's just wrap this up. But yeah, this has been episode 18, guys. I'm like over here twitching. But yeah, this is episode 18. Guys,
you were. So. I thought you were like,
Yeah, like, keep it going, bro.
I'm sorry.
Well, that's okay. All right. Well, that's it, guys. We'll see you in a few days for our Django Unchained review. And then upcoming after that is going to be our best of 2012. We should have a few more people on the podcast as well for that. You could email us at thefilmclubpodcast@gmail.com We have a Facebook and Twitter page you can follow us on. Every now and then, like today's episode, we live stream our episode. I don't know if anybody watched because I haven't been looking at it the whole time. Nope.
Nobody but, watched.
I don't know. Maybe earlier someone was on there, but I wasn't paying attention. But yeah, you could follow us on all that stuff. If you're interested in sharing your top favorite movies of the year, worst movies of the year, just email us. Like I said, the filmclubpodcast@gmail.com.
We'll read them out. Really?
We do have a number. I will be posting that on our Facebook, and I'll probably talk about it next episode. If you want to leave a voicemail, we could add that on there. But yeah.
Cool.
This has been episode 18, and I gotta pee. Bye.
Bye.
Тринадцать. Черт!